By a show of hands, how many of us are fully comfortable with the term born again to describe our own Christian experience? This is no judgment here. No judgment. Now, some of us have come from evangelical traditions in which being born again is normative. So, second question, how many of you have ever been accosted by someone who asked you if you had been born again? Isn't that interesting? There's so many more of us. Final question, how many of you have some negative feelings about the term born again? Yeah, it's very interesting. So the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible translates this phrase from the Greek, born from above, which may sound a bit different to our ears because it lacks the familiar ring of being born again. The NRSV also offers a second translation in a footnote, born anew. But both of those translations would cause Nicodemus to ask how one could be born after growing older, how one could be born by re-entering a mother's womb. Did you ever wonder about that phrase? Why that term makes you perhaps feel uncomfortable, or it leaves you scratching your head as if somebody else knows something that's going on, but they didn't let you in on the secret? Maybe you think you are not that kind of Christian. Or maybe at some point you felt judged. Or maybe you just find it to be a mysterious term. You know, when I was a freshman at UC Santa Barbara, I had a roommate named Connell. You know how they put you in with whomever, like first year? My freshman roommate was Connell. He was a nice enough guy. He had grown up in an Episcopal church in the Central Valley of California. And upon moving to Santa Barbara, he found a home in a Pentecostal church down in Santa Barbara itself. And at that time in my life, I was really struggling with the church of my youth, which was a UCC church. It was progressive. We didn't use that term then, but a lot of us do at some point in our lives, especially as young adults, struggle with the church because it can look so hypocritical. It can look so demeaning to some people. So Connell asked me if I had been born again. I answered no, and he asked if I would like to join him at his church on Sunday morning. I answered, no, thank you. See, that's why, like, Nancy Reagan's thing, just say no, never worked, because if it was like, just say no, thank you, it might have worked, but just say no. No, no, thank you. Sorry, I diverge. You know, Connell asked me and invited me again and again and again. And finally, I relented. I could see this was a losing battle. And this experience of church was entirely different for me. You know, I was a nice New England congregational boy in Santa Barbara. And it was as if going into this worship space, people were changed. They were acting in a very peculiar way, it seemed to me, as if they had taken some kind of drug that kicked in at the beginning of the service and then ended when they left the building. You know, there was a certain behavior that was happening, and I just hadn't seen that before. And I also had never felt so uncomfortable and out of place. And I kept wanting to run screaming from the building, but I was too darn polite, and I stuck it out till the end of the service. And I have to tell you, that was the last time I darkened the doorstep of any church for years. In those days, it almost felt as if being born again was a litmus test for being a real Christian. It was almost as if being born again formed a wall between Christians. Those who considered themselves to have been born again and those who didn't. Many of us then and now don't don't want to be cast in the same light as Jim and Tammy Faye or Jimmy Swaggart or Benny Hinn, all of whom really emphasized the centrality, the importance of being born again. I did a little homework this week on a contemporary televangelist, Joel Osteen, and I saw on his website that it says, and I quote, "Pray this aloud. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart, wash me clean. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen." The quote continues, "We believe that if you prayed that simple prayer, you have been born again." Well, maybe this is why a lot of progressive Christians feel the need to sort of distance themselves from the concept of being born again. Let's face it, it has a lot of baggage in our culture, which is tragic because it's really quite a beautiful way of approaching the kind of transformation that is central to our faith and central in our lives. And I'd like to suggest that deep internal transformation is far more nuanced and that it requires far more than repeating a formulaic prayer. What if we started to imagine being born again not as a wall that divides people, and it's often divides the saved and the damned, and the saved do the classifying, but rather as a bridge between old ways of thinking, non-life-giving ways of thinking, and new possibilities of reorienting the priorities in our lives? It may be more helpful to you to speak of being born anew. And if that's still too close, think about being born from above. All of those are good translations from the Greek. And the other thing is, being born again is not a one-off. We can be born from above again and again and again. It's also really important to remember the source of this passage, John's gospel, which is, unlike the first three in the Bible, it's a mystical text rather than a document that attempts to convey an orderly account like Luke's gospel does. The writer of this gospel wants you to see beyond what is right in front of you and to use your imagination to envision the realm of what is possible. It's very right brain, and it uses heaps of metaphor. In today's brief scripture, Nicodemus takes a literal approach when Jesus mentions being born anew. I mean, how can you re-enter your mother's womb? Duh. It's a metaphor. It's a beautiful metaphor for deep transformation. It represents a life-changing process that broadens one's view, and it makes new things possible. When he was here at Plymouth as our visiting scholar, John Dominic Crossan used another metaphor to describe this deep transformation. And if Dominic Crossan is willing to offer a metaphor, let all who have ears listen. He said that being born anew is like receiving a heart transplant. Now, you've probably seen images of a cardiothoracic surgeon opening up a patient's chest and removing an old diseased heart from the patient and implanting a new healthy heart, shocking that heart and seemingly bringing the patient back to life, being born again. Dom is not referring to the transplant of that beating muscle in your chest, but rather the sense of deep knowing, of feeling, of emotion, of perception, of motivation, all of which are embodied metaphorically in our heart. What would it look like for you to have a heart transplant in that sense? What newness of outlook and life might you expect? You know, in some 18th century congregational churches in New England, a criterion for membership was a visible sign of conversion. evidence that one had been born from above. It's a little more nuanced than Joel Osteen's formula. But let me approach it somewhat differently. What are some of the ways that you have seen folks here at Plymouth or elsewhere show evidence of transformation, to show evidence of the newness of life? What act of compassion do you see them committing that might convince you that they have reordered the priorities in their lives to put following Jesus first? I can share a few. When I see folks here at Plymouth who stay overnight in our church to accompany families who are experiencing homelessness, I see it as a mark of a transformed life. When I hear someone commit to teaching Sunday school for an entire year, God bless them, it shows a transformed soul. When I see people show up to help a refugee family or to help a Palestinian student who has arrived without his family, who have now come to this country, and see them help these folks, I see people whose lives have been and are being transformed. When I witness extraordinary acts of generosity in our congregation, I see it less about somebody's ability to give and more about their inclination, regardless of the size of the gift. I see those not as a cause, but as an effect of having had a heart transplant. I don't think we can force being born anew. I think we need to be open to the possibility of that transformation when it comes. And some of that involves allowing old certainties and old fears to melt away. And it involves seeking an openness to fresh ways of being in the world. Maybe some of the things we have grasped and held so tightly, maybe some of those can be released. Some of the ways of living or measures of success that we once thought were incredibly important can be let go of. And I also think it is something that we can ask for in our prayer lives. Every last person in this room, every last one of us, has room for transformation. So here is what one born-again Christian, Jimmy Carter, said about his faith. "I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that I do whatever I can, wherever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have, and to try and make a difference." What I'm driving at is that you can be born from above, born again, born anew, and still be committed to the progressive spirit. And Christians don't have a corner on the market of spiritual transformation, and certainly this transformation of our priorities, of our perspectives, and the way we live our lives. Those all have precious little to do with saying a formulaic prayer. Marcus Borg writes, "Rightly understood, being born again is a very rich and comprehensive notion. It is the very center of the New Testament and the Christian life. We need to reclaim it." May we at Plymouth, in this season of seeking, open ourselves to the journey of transformation and invite it in. May it be so. Amen.